Welcome to episode 299 of In Touch with iOS, the show that talks about iPhone, iPad, Apple Watch, Apple TV related technologies. I'm your host, Dave Ginsburg, and Guy Searle is back with his struggles to get on the show this week, barely with his mics and interfaces. And how you doing, Guy?
I'm feeling better now, but I was having my issues. And I'm not talking like regular Guy Searle issues. I'm talking about tech issues.
It's unheard of.
I know.
Unheard of to have you have tech issues. Also here with his Cubs hat. We got the opening day with the Chicago Cubs against the Texas Rangers playing as we speak. But we're dedicated podcasters and want to be here. Ben Rathick, how are you doing, Ben?
I'm good. I'm excited to get this done so I can boot up Marquee and hope it works.
Yeah, let's hope. And if anybody doesn't know what he's talking about, Marquee is the Cubs network. And last but certainly not least, Jeff Gamet is here. How are you doing, Jeff? Thanks for being here.
I'm doing great. I didn't have technical issues getting in. And so Guy, thanks for taking that one for me. I may not be wearing something on my head to celebrate the sports thing today.
Sports ball.
But I've got something on if you want to see.
Oh, gosh.
Now, we'd really prefer if you stay in your seat, Jeff.
Yeah, stay. Yeah.
I'll keep my celebration to myself, whatever.
Yeah. So
that lotion there by your desk.
Oh, now I need to move on. we got lots of things to talk about this week.
The explicit tag on.
Yeah.
And done with it.
Got lots of things to talk about this week with iOS and there was a good, interesting topic about the journaling app, and there's lots of news. The WWDC is coming. So other kinds of fun stuff to talk about here, but let's go right into the topics. First thing is beta. There is no beta again. I think it's a month now since they haven't released a new beta, which is very strange, I must say. So we're anticipating probably 17.5 might be coming at some point. There's been some chatter with that. So, but it's possible. But we did talk about last week that 17.4.1 came out last week. But they've been really talking a lot about the security fixes that were included in both the iPhone and the iPad fixes here. There's some serious vulnerabilities with image-related securities. They may lead to arbitrary code execution. There's a couple other things that we just can't say enough to make sure that you go out and upgrade to 17.4.1. Really important. But then a couple days later, actually, yesterday, as we record, they updated the build number for some reason. That was spotted by Mac Rumors here. It was a previous build of 21E237. Now, it previously had a build number of 21E236, and there's no rhyme or reason on why they did that or why it's done. I don't think it'll upgrade. It'll keep it to whatever you had upgraded to from the beginning here. So, but these folks that are very sharp and looking for all these things, they're always finding this stuff. So, Jeff, you got anything about the 17.4.1?
I'm glad they have those security patches rolling out. I was curious if anyone had seen the new build revision show up as an update on any of their devices. Because I heard about it, I went and checked all my devices to see if it would show up as an update, and no, it hasn't.
Are you running betas, Jeff?
There is no beta.
There is no beta.
Yeah.
But right now I'm not. And Guy, you're going to love this. I'm not running beta on anything because the iPad that I've been running it on has a completely shot battery, but not shot enough that Apple will replace it. So I have to run it on a charger all the time, and it disappeared. And so I just had a dead iPad because I couldn't find the charger to plug it into.
Listen, go to any gas station.
Yeah, anywhere. That's right.
Anywhere.
Find a charger. It doesn't.
I can buy everywhere. A five pack, different color five for each day.
I was in McDonald's. There they were.
Yeah, that's right. It's a quick charge.
Here, Jeff.
That's what I did. We'll hand out those cords.
Any thoughts, Ben, on the Toyko move on?
Yeah, if you haven't updated, do it now.
Can't agree with you more. Second topic this week there's been a lot of upheaval here about the fact that people think that the Journal app is spying on you, and they're looking at you for your location and your name, and everything is there with it. This isn't happening, people. No, the Apple Journal app is not sharing your location and your name with everyone. And if we don't know, the Journal app, Apple introduced that back in December of 2023. It's part of 17.2 and had a number of good intelligence suggestions features. One of those was garnering attention on social media from the enabled by default discoverable by others. You know, while social media posts will lead you to believe that the feature is sharing your name and location with everyone around you, that it's not actually the case. So what you need to know is that there is a setting, and it, basically what it is, many of the Journal app's features fall under a journaling suggestions setting, which uses on-device intelligence to generate journaling suggestions based on your day-to-day life. This is a feature to opt in, and you make it makes recommendations based on things like places you go, photos you take, music you listen to, and more. I seem to remember the other journaling app that we've been some of us have been using, Day One. I think this pretty much does the same thing. That's what it's for. It's then that's what makes an intelligent journal like what Apple does here. So there you go. There you got social media going after it again here. So what do you think, Jeff, on this?
Okay, I saw this crop up as a clickbait article on one of the sites that writes about Apple but doesn't like Apple. Yep. And they will go out of their way to say crappy things. So they wrote this clickbait headline about the Journal app and discoverable by others and this dangerous feature.
It's dangerous.
And then when you read the article, it just tells you what the feature is.
Yeah.
And tells you that it's totally innocuous and that any people that it actually is suggesting, it's just based on who you've been hanging out with that is in your address book already. And so the site, they ran this totally crappy headline with an article that should have had a headline, which is, here's this cool thing that the Journal app will do with people that are in your contacts. And instead they did the other thing. People read the headlines and they knew this was going to happen. It hits social media and goes like wildfire. And I shake my fist at that website.
You love those websites, right?
Oh, no. Yeah, I live for...
No, I don't.
No, right. It's no, the other thing. Yeah, the other thing. I mix those up.
Yeah. What do you think, Ben?
I mean, honestly, this is a nothing article basically manufactured by a site that, you know, if they act poorly, there's no
consequences.
No consequences. There's only better views.
Well, just a disclaimer, I did not link that article you are talking about. This is 9to5Mac, so they're being a little more.
Actually, 9to5Mac, it wasn't 9to5Mac.
Right. Which I knew.
That was the problem. It was another site.
Shall your name remain?
I will leave them nameless because you know what? Screw those guys.
Yeah, I'm not giving them any credit here. How about you, Guy? What do you think about this?
Well, I have to disagree because the giant lizard who inhales chemtrails and lives on flat Earth told me that it was true.
I stand corrected. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to quote here, Joanna Stern in the Wall Street Journal asked Apple of this feature and put together a good explanation. She got back from them saying that the phone can use Bluetooth to detect the number of devices nearby that are in your contacts. It doesn't store which of these specific contacts were around, but instead may use this as context to improve and prioritize journaling suggestions. So, again, it's a journaling app. The whole point of it is to journal what you do and make it easier. You know, old days we would have a book. Someone would sit down. You're journaling. You're writing something down. Sometimes you forget. That's what that's there for, because it's gonna know where you are.
And then you're no longer a teenage girl.
That's right. It's not a diary. So be aware of that. That's it. And that's all I can say here. So. next topic here I wanted to talk about a little bit. I took this road to decide there's got to be a way to merge two Apple IDs. Of course there isn't, which is the biggest annoying thing on the planet right now, and Apple will never fix this, and it's extremely frustrating. Basically what it is, I have a Mac.com account, and I don't want to lose that. I really am happy, and as many of us have a Mac.com account, which is basically your iCloud account. And I originally started my other Apple ID, because back in those days, we used to always have two IDs because you didn't have family sharing at the time. And I don't want my contacts and in my information being merged with my wife. And I want to be seeing her text. I don't want to be seeing her contacts. So we had to, keep things separate, but we wanted to maintained a separate ID that was all my purchases. And that was a Gmail account that I used for that account. And I've had that account for probably 20 years. I mean, and the Mac account, obviously I've had it just as long, but dummy me, I didn't think about it at the time and then created the second ID. So it's impossible. You can't do it. You can't merge it, but there are some ways you can work around it. What I had done was I had my iCloud account was on my Mac.com account, but the rest of everything else was on my Gmail account. So you had, I've got apps that I've purchased for years and years, and I've had some books and buying movies and stuff that's in the iTunes store. All that stuff's going to be on that secondary ID. Your Apple One bundle, when you have the bundle, of course, I had the bundle on the Gmail account, but the iCloud part of it was on my Mac.com account. So that means I had to use family sharing. Family sharing is a very valuable way of doing things and being able to get it to work. And that's about the only workaround you can do. But what happens when you have five people in your family, including myself, would be six, and that's your max? Well, you can't put that other Apple ID.
Which family member do you not like?
Yeah, exactly. Kick somebody out so I can have that back in there. So it's near impossible to do this. But I decided to do it anyway. I canceled my Apple One bundle that was on the Gmail account. I subscribed to the bundle on the .mac.com account, and I think some things will live in harmony. Others I may just have to find a way to go on another device and sign into that other account and get it some way to share it. And that's what I did. So, and then the other problem is, I had subscriptions. That's another pain. Like Carrot, good app to Jeff. You hooked me onto it many moons ago, and that's on that account. So I'm gonna have to wait until it expires in January of 2025. So as long as the app is still installed on my device with that Apple ID, it still works. Problem is, I get a new app.
Wait. If you switch your Carrot subscription to a different account, you lose all those badges for all the time you've been using it, and you have to start over.
I know. That's so.
Just letting you know.
Yeah. No, I know. It's a sad state of affairs. So as far as the applications go, I had also subscribed to Disney Plus, but that expires at the end of May. So I'll just let it expire, and I'll just sign back up to it when it comes to a subscription. Apple Music, on the other hand, that one's a little more interesting angle. How to manage that? I did find a way, and I've got some articles from Apple support that'll be in the show notes. One of them being that I was able to copy my library. It's an XML file, as we know, that iTunes, as it's still called, that copies the library over, that includes all my playlists. I don't want to lose all those playlists. So for sure, because I worked really hard putting those playlists together, and I don't want to lose that. So I was able to copy that off, and then I went on to another Mac. The only way to do it is use a Mac to do this. Go through and then export the XML file and put it into your music account on Mac, on the new Mac that didn't have it before, and it synced it. Then you turn on sync in the music app and let it sync, and then voila, I went to my iPhone and my iPad, and all my playlists were there. So at least I was able to get that to work. All the other apps are just kind of irrelevant, News Plus and all that stuff. It still works, Arcade, all those things. So there is some rhyme or reason able to do this. It's just, it's disappointing that I can't get some of these apps. LumaFusion is another one. I paid that $30 for it. That was a one-time charge, and do I not want to go back out and have to pay another $30 for it again? Or it may have even changed. I might be grandfathered in because it's, I don't know if it's a subscription now. So there are some pros and there are some cons, and I got so tired of having two Apple IDs, you know? So I think the way I went about this is probably somewhat okay, but like you said, I got to find a family member. I don't want to be in my family anymore, right? That'd probably be the best way to just basically have that ID as another family member and then sharing the purchases. I didn't be careful though, because if you go to purchase sharing, I did find out the hard way, because I don't want to pay for other family members' app purchases. And one of my family members did buy something while they were out of the country. And I said, what the heck is this? Because I had turned on purchase sharing, and sure enough, that app got purchased and got charged my Apple card. So you got to be aware of that. So, but the moral of this whole story is just, proceed with caution. If it's not something that's that important with you and you're okay with it, then yeah, just leave it be. But yeah, I wanted to pursue it, see how it would work. Yeah, I can always go back if I want to. But you know, the other problem too is, remember I talked about a number of weeks ago that my monthly playlist through Apple Music was Taylor Swift, because my wife listens, and I was sharing my Apple Music account with her. So I get the whole playlist for the month, and every single song is Taylor Swift, as we talked about a number of weeks ago. So there was another motivation there to change it. Other bummer part about it is, you know, I have you guys and many of my other friends that you friend on Apple Music. I'll have to start that over again and refriend them and all that. But I guess it's not that bad of a deal when it comes to that. So, and are you guys all, I know, Jeff, you got multiple Apple IDs, right?
I have four.
Okay, yeah. So, and you just keep them separate.
Yes. So I have two that I use all the time. And one of them goes back to when we first started the whole thing, which would have been iTools. Right. And that was a completely different system. And Apple, when they, what did it become next? Was it me?
I think it was Mobile Me.
Yeah. So then you had the .me accounts. And
I got them all.
And yeah, and then at that point, I hit a point where like I wanted to do syncing with all my devices.
Right.
And you couldn't at that point without creating a brand new Apple ID, because that's how screwed up the whole thing was. Mm-hmm. So they fixed part of it, but yeah, so my old iTools Apple ID, that's all the purchases that I make. And then everything else is the account that I had to create when Mobile Me became a thing. And I just accept that I will always have two IDs, and I will need to just make sure that I have them set up in the right places all the time so that I don't screw anything up.
The good thing is it's just you. You know, me, I have my wife and my family, and you know, that makes it harder. I wanted to give them the benefit. And I wanted to get the benefit, you know, because they're, you know, I'm not going to say how we're handling the financial part of it, but I think you could figure that out. But having the Apple One bundle allows me to, as a family, as doing family sharing, they get access to all of those benefits that we get from the Apple One Premier bundle. So, Guy, do you have multiple IDs too? Do you just stick with just one?
I used to have several. Since the start of this conversation, I've discovered I don't know how to spell schizophrenia. I had a Mobile Me account, and I had the iTools account. I had all the same ones, and right around the time that I got my first iPhone, I had some purchases in iTunes, but not really that much, a couple of movies. And I realized early on that Apple was not going to let me merge those with my brand new Apple ID account, other ID account.
Yeah.
And I just let it go. I just gave up and said, okay, I'm all the money that I spent on that music and the little bit of, and it was probably less than $100, but still it was like,
yeah, the movies I've purchased.
Why can't you guys just figure out, okay, I am the same person here and the same person there. And I made those accounts there, and I made these purchases here. Can't you just put them over here? And I understand part of the reason for it is because Apple doesn't, they control the distribution, but they don't own the content. So right. when there is a purchase made in one account, Apple just can't turn around and say, okay, well, this thing that you bought in this account, the copyright holders are saying that if you want it in this account too, you've got to buy it again. And that's, I think that's like the biggest reason why, as far as content goes, we'll never be able to merge these accounts unless right. you use something nefarious and copy all of those things and turn them into MP3s and then re-import them into the other one and, you know, do the same thing with your movies and TV shows. But that would be wrong.
Yeah, that would be wrong. Yeah. How about you, Ben? Do you have multiple accounts?
Not for a long while. I kind of consolidated everything during the more nefarious days.
Okay. Well, you were smart, unlike us. Oh my God, the cat showing up like that's freaking me out there.
I know.
Hello, Oz. It's so great to see you.
Right in your haze there.
Oz, so, the little and annoying.
So, yeah, I'll have lots of links in the show notes from some of the support articles. I did spend a bit of time with Apple on text, and I have to tell you that experience is really good. You know, not having to be on the phone with somebody and talking to them and trying to explain things. You could just sit in a text message, and Apple is very responsive through text messages, and they're always sending articles. You can send them screenshots. You can do a lot of explaining to go through and try to figure out how you can do things like this. And again, I tried to see if they would cancel a subscription right away so I can just resubscribe to Disney Plus. And for next year, I was fine foregoing two months left on it. And, oh, no, you got to call Apple. And then I reach out to Apple, and they say, no, we can't do it. Okay. I'll just let it slide.
It all has to do with copyright.
Yeah. Yeah, the subscriptions, yeah, it's, I think it's just the way their billing is. It's not the greatest, you know, comes to that. So, but anyway, yeah, that's it with the Apple IDs here. Let's pop down on some of the news here that I have here this week. The big story was WWDC was announced. It is going to be June 10th through the 14th, and it is going to let the developers join it at no cost, which is interesting. Our friend Jim Ray has said that he bidded for it to get tickets for it. So I guess it is like a lottery. So to be able to go on site if they have events in person, but a lot of it's virtual. So, but interesting how much money they charged for that over the years. It was like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it was like $1,500 just to get in, and yeah, you know. Making it free for all developers, I think, was a really smart move, especially since they've taken the whole thing to online. It's now a useful tool for all developers and not just the ones that could afford to shell out $1,500
right.
plus travel, plus hotel, plus food. And
absolutely.
Never complained at Macworld.
No. And you guys have a lot of experience at Macworld, and
yeah,
lot different
party.
It was a lot different, but yeah, what they say they're definitely going to plan a special event just like they do, and that'll take place on the June 10th, as they always call it, the keynote at the Apple Park campus in Cupertino, and attendees will be able to watch the keynote and the State of the Union presentations at Apple Park, as well as meet Apple employees and attend the Apple Design Awards. So. You will be able to do that. It says the current Apple developer program members, Apple Entrepreneur Camp alumni, prior Swift Student Challenge winners, and current Apple developer enterprise program members can enter to attend the Apple Park event, with Apple choosing participants through a random lottery. So you're not going to get it's like a lottery. You know, whoever won that $1.1 billion in Mega Millions, you know, it's like that. It's a crapshoot lottery here, so it's going to be interesting. What do you think, Ben, on this?
Well, first off, the old WWDC, where a bunch of developers just hang out in downtown San Francisco or San Jose and have a big party.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that event is permanently gone. But this new event is more inclusive, since everybody is pretty much on the same footing.
Yep. You got the last word, Guy. What do you think?
I will probably never be able to go to a WWDC. For the people that can go, I'm, you know, delighted for you. I hope you have a wonderful time. I'll watch it here.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going through some withdrawal here. We haven't had an Apple event in quite a while here. So,
well, Mac Stock is coming up.
But the Mac Stock is coming. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. But with Apple events in general, you know, we're always the spring event usually would be happening. It doesn't look like that's going to be happening. It looks like it's going to be.
Well, it's like they've gone completely away from, other than WWDC, almost everything they do now, as far as announcements goes, is virtual.
Yep.
And, you know, that it's kind of a shame because there was something about the spontaneity of live events that just made it really, really worth going in and watching. You know, I mean, you think about the last Apple event that they had, it was what, 30 minutes in, out, gone and done. And it was like, okay, well, you got all the information out there and it was, you know, very informative and stuck to the point and all the rest of that. But it was not exciting. It just seemed like the spark of Apple events is slowly fading away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a Microsoft or Dell event now.
Yeah.
That's true. Also interesting is some of the social media posts, specifically Greg Joswiak said, mark your calendars, WWDC. It's going to be absolutely incredible. AI? where's that little hint? Huh?
Yeah,
we'll see.
I think all of us are stretching a little bit by assuming that word choicing is to give us the AI hint. But it's fun to make that speculation. The reality is, we already knew this was going to be an event that was heavy on AI because Apple has been very openly telegraphing to us that they have really big AI announcements coming. So,
I'm sure it'll work just as well as the first version of Siri.
The first version of Siri was pretty good. Then Apple bought it.
Although a guy and I have been playing around with Microsoft's Copilot, and he hooked me on to creating. I created a couple of theme songs for In Touch with iOS, and
is such a cool program.
Yeah, and being able to create a, I did a heavy metal one, and it was a pop one, and it was singing all our names, and it was like, wow, it was pretty cool, and pictures too. You know, a lot of podcasters are creating some interesting pictures. As graphics, and
that's all. I'm using that for my show graphics now.
You're using it on the My Mac Combo podcast. Yeah. I think Dave Hamilton is as well on Mac Geek Gab as well.
Yep.
So I'm going to start. It avoids
all the pesky problem. What I used to do was just grab images off the internet, but sooner or later you're going to get caught, you know, as Dave Hamilton might say. So
don't
this way. Me. It's completely original or AI generated anyway, original artwork. And there's no copyright problem with it. So, why not?
Yep. So, more to come with that. It's going to be fun. We'll see what they announce. We know all kinds of other stuff. We'll be covering it here. So, next story here, Apple sues a former employee for leaking iPhone's journal app and more. Apple this month, this was actually today as we record, sued its former employee, Andrew Auda, in California state court, alleging that he breached the company's confidentiality agreement and violated labor laws by leaking sensitive information to the media and employees at other tech companies. Apple has demanded a jury trial and is seeking damages of excess of $25,000. That's like peanut money to them.
No, it's not to that guy.
It's not to that guy, but...
especially now that he won't be able to work in the industry anywhere.
Yeah. So the lawsuit alleges that over a 5-year period, he used his Apple-issued work iPhone to leak information about more than a half a dozen Apple products and policies, including its then an unannounced Journal app and the Vision Pro headset, and product development policies and strategies for regulatory compliance, employee headcounts, Yeah, come on. Information that should not be out shared with the public. So, Jeff, I'm
going to... way to tie it back to him.
Well, he was using a company-issued iPhone.
Yeah.
Jeff, I can't wait to know what you think of this.
If you're going to do something like this, okay, first, you're actually being really stupid. But then second, try and not be stupid about the way you go about doing this. You need to obfuscate what you're doing. But then also, Apple is intentionally releasing different types of information through different channels. And it's one of the tools that they use to track down where leaks are coming from. Apple even has their own internal division that's basically detectives. And they are investigating stuff all the time. This is not a company where you want to be leaking stuff. Now, here's the thing, though. Having a secret is something that is just so tantalizing for so many people. But the power in the secret is letting other people know you have the secret. Right. So it can be very alluring to want to share the secret that you have. And especially if it's a secret from Apple, now it's like it's a really cool thing. And yeah. I can see where the temptation for some people would be very strong to do this. But as they say, frack around and find out. And that's what's happening here.
I mean,
these are not the secrets you were looking for.
Move along.
I mean, I go back to, there wasn't that website called Think Secret that Apple shut down. Yeah. That was Steve Jobs was going after that site, and they shut down because of all the leaks they were doing. So obviously that kind of probably motivated them to have a completely dedicated division, just to, like what you just described, watching for.
I'd be more afraid of them than the NSA.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could make your iCloud account disappear.
Yeah, that's true.
Both
or
of them.
Or worse.
It's going to be gone. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, adding to what Jeff said, if you have a work-issued device, most everything you do on that device is tracked. So not only did he do enough to tip them off, using his work-issued device, he handed them all the evidence because that's Apple's device.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, honestly, I'm surprised this was in operation for 5 years.
It went quite a long time. Anyway, you got the last word, guy.
No, he's an idiot, and he's basically screwed himself out of a career. So,
pretty much.
Sorry, dude. Yeah, wish things would have worked out better for you, but when push comes to shove, there's only one person to blame here, and it's not Apple.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the next story. Apple TV Plus is the streaming platform with the highest rated content on IMDb. It's been 5 years since Apple TV Plus. God, that time has flown by. That the Apple TV Plus was announced, although its content library is not as vast as its competitors, but Apple TV Plus movies and shows have won multiple awards. And interestingly, a study was done by Self Financial found that the Apple TV Plus is the streaming platform with the highest rated content on all streaming platforms. And they analyzed IMDb ratings comparatively with U.S. streaming platforms, which included Amazon Prime, Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu, Peacock, Max, Paramount Plus, and Apple TV. And when it came to having a huge library of content, Prime now leads the segment with over 13,000, almost 14,000 movies and shows. More than double of Netflix, which comes in second, but Apple TV Plus, on the other hand, is the streaming service with the smallest catalog of only 271 titles that are available. However, despite having the smallest catalog, Apple's streaming platform stands out as having the best average rating for content, at least according to IMDb. It's an average score of about 7.01 out of 10. Unsurprisingly, the study notes that the Emmy-winning series Ted Lasso is one of the highest rated programs. What a surprise. another reason why it should come back or have at least a spinoff? Don't you think, Guy?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Yeah, it wouldn't even have to have Ted Lasso in it.
Yeah.
To see the continuing adventures of Nate and, you know, all the rest of the Lasso crew
in Richmond.
Yeah. I would love to see the drama that continued after Ted Lasso left. It, you know, and you know, the thing about Apple and their content, Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, they take the shotgun approach to creating new content and having more content on their site than other platforms. Doesn't matter if, you know, 90% of it is garbage. You know, it's like, we've got more. It's like, yeah, but nobody's watching it because it's crap. Whereas Apple comes out with things like Ted Lasso and The Morning Show, which I don't particularly care for, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah. And, you know, so many other shows that have gotten acclaim, that it's not a surprise that even though they have the least amount of content, that's where people are going to watch. Quality is winning over quantity.
Agreed. How about you, Jeff?
Guy nailed it. Apple is going for quality over quantity. This has been their MO.
Forever.
Yeah, forever. And with the launch of Apple TV Plus, it was obvious that they were not going to just churn out tons of content and hope they get some hits out of it. They wanted to invest in shows that were going to be quality from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it shows. You don't need to have all the content in the world. You just need to have really good content and a diverse collection,
right,
so that you can appeal to a wider base. And what would you say, 200 and something titles on Apple TV Plus after five years?
271.
271 after 5 years. Okay. Well, that's fine.
It's all
because, yeah, it's stuff that people want to watch.
Right. You got the last word, Ben.
Let's see. Severance, Constellation, Monarch.
Foundation.
My brain's... Yeah, Foundation.
Ted Lasso, Morning
Show. Yeah, Ted Lasso, got Silo. There's so many memorable shows that I can think of on Apple TV Plus. Other than The Watcher, I can't remember the last title I actually cared about on Netflix.
Yeah.
Watch Three Body Problem on Netflix. I think you'll really enjoy it. 8 episodes.
What network was Reacher on? Was that Amazon?
Amazon, yeah.
That's on Amazon.
I like that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't, because it's just mindless violence, but it was fun. It was fun, mindless violence.
But, I mean, Apple TV Plus is so much like Netflix was at the beginning.
Or at least once they started making their own content and not just throwing crap on the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So next story here, warning, Apple users are being targeted in phishing attacks involving rapid password reset requests. Phishing attacks taking advantage of Apple's password reset feature have become increasingly common, according to a report from Krebs on Security, who I would trust highly. Multiple Apple users have been targeted in an attack that bombards them with endless stream of notifications or multi-factor authentication messages in an attempt to cause panic so they respond favorably to social engineering. And an attacker is able to cause the target's iPhone, Apple Watch, or Mac to display the system level password change approval text over and over again. And because the password requests targets the Apple ID, they pop up on all users' devices, and the notifications renders all linked Apple products unable to be used until the pop-ups are dismissed. So this is a pretty aggressive thing here. In the case of the attacker was using information leaked from a people's search website, which included name, current address, past address, phone numbers, and all that stuff. So obviously here is the fact that people are still getting attacked with this. There was an update from this article where it said to clarify how the attack works. The prior version suggests that the Apple ID could be accessed should someone press allow on one of these password reset pop-ups, but that's inaccurate. It is a complicated multi-step attack that requires social engineering. So the password reset spam is a component that Apple will hopefully address in a future update. So this is crazy. I mean, just someone has a little too much time on their hands. They got to do this kind of stuff. What do you think, Jeff, on this?
Sucks that people do this.
Yeah.
And from what I've been seeing, it sounds like most of the people that are experiencing this are potentially being targeted. Not just like, oh, I hit the wrong website and now they're getting my Apple ID, but people where they actually want to get their Apple ID. That said, apparently it wouldn't be that big of a deal to hijack a website and inject code that allows this to happen so you can have a wider base of potential victims.
Right.
But yeah, social engineering is part of this. It's not like just clicking the button,
right,
give someone access to your account. That said, the fact that you can have this constant approve it popping up, that's something that I would have thought Apple would have addressed before it became an issue, before anyone even thought of it being an issue, because that's a really good way to try and get someone's credentials. So I bet we will see an update for this sooner as opposed to later.
I would hope so. How about you, Ben?
Yeah, I really can't add much more than Jeff didn't already say. It's
speak for Ben.
Yes. I mean, honestly, if you have something like this, do not give in. Don't get frustrated. Just kind of wait them out.
Yep. And Guy, what do you think?
Yeah, that's good advice. You know, I mean, as these pop-ups come up, just dismiss them. And as long as you're not giving them what they want. And, you know, and in the article even says they're actually calling people and asking for a code that Apple gives you that specifically says, don't share this code with anyone. So,
right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, pay attention to messages like that. If Apple says, don't share this code with someone who might call you for it, don't share this code with someone who might call you for it.
I mean, in fact, when I was talking about the earlier with the Apple ID thing, the discussion we had, whenever I would have Apple come in to look at my Apple ID, they actually send you a notification, say, do you approve for Apple to look at your account before we start working on this? And you just, same type of pop-up, you just click approve. And I think that's a new thing that Apple does now. I remember them doing that before. So stay secure out there, people. Got to be careful. Mm-hmm. Be aware of this kind of stuff. So some buttons I think I'm going to push here in this next article. This is Canva. If anybody's familiar with Canva, it's a suite of apps that allows you to, it's like a design company. They acquired Serif's Affinity suite of creative apps, marking a significant stride in its competing against Adobe with a deal that's valued about several hundred millions of dollars. Canva is an Australian online design company. They're valued about $26 billion. Its platform offers user-friendly design tools that aimed at non-professionals and has a user base of about 175 million people worldwide. At the acquisition of the Affinity apps will mark a change in strategy for Canva, targeting professional designers and creatives who have traditionally relied on Adobe's suite of products. And Affinity software encompasses photo editing, vector illustration, desktop publishing tools, and has been lauded for its performance, affordability, and one-time purchase model, which is a stark contrast of Adobe's ridiculous subscription services.
Yeah.
There's a 90-person team that's part of Serif's team. It's going to go right to Canva, and they're not going to lay off anybody, and they're going to merge this together. And I know you have thoughts, Jeff.
No.
Okay.
No, okay. Actually, when the news came out that Canva had acquired Serif, just outright, they own the whole company now. Right. My heart skipped a beat because I'm one of the people that ultimately abandoned Creative Cloud for Serif's Affinity app suite. Mm-hmm. And I've been very pleased with it. And keep in mind, I'm someone that was using these tools professionally. So to be able to move away from Creative Cloud and not have any real problems, I mean, that was a huge thing, and it was saving me a lot of money. I totally get why Adobe did what they did, and that's because of the customer base that they have. It made sense for Creative Cloud to become a subscription model product.
Yeah.
For a lot of users, though, that business model didn't make sense for their pocketbooks. Okay,
right.
Perfect opportunity for Serif to step in, create quality products that are compatible, file format compatible with Creative Cloud, and give you that basic pixel, vector, and page layout trifecta. They did a great job with that. Canva buying them concerns me, although Serif did send out an email to all of us users a couple days after the announcement saying, here's our commitment to you. We are not going to stop supporting what's already there, and we will commit to offering a perpetual license option for the apps, even if at some point down the road we offer a subscription model for that as well. And that's actually what Omni is doing with their apps. So you can get a subscription or pay perpetual license. So they're making that commitment, and that offers me a little reassurance on the positive side. Having Canva's resources to back up what Serif is doing, this will allow Serif to do a lot more faster than they otherwise would have, and potentially tie in what they're doing with the sync abilities that Canva already offers. Right. So you might get some Canva-like features that show up in these apps that could be really useful in a lot of workflows. Here's the downside. When one company buys another one and they make all these promises, we have to hope that they actually honor the promises that they're making. I mean, how many times in the past have we seen one company acquire another and they say, it's going to be fine, it's going to be great. And it doesn't take very long before the whole thing just kind of falls apart on us. And then as users, we are screwed. So if this falls apart, where do we go? However, Canva, they very clearly want to go head-to-head with Adobe. And getting Serif in their toolbox gives them the opportunity to be able to compete much more with Adobe than they were. So Canva has a lot of incentive here to not screw up what Serif is doing, because they need those tools to be solid and competitive.
Agreed.
I'm still really worried, but I'm hopeful.
Yeah, we'll keep hope. Guys, any other thoughts on that, Guy?
No, I don't use it.
I speak for Guy.
And the last word for Ben, if you have anything on that?
I mean, every company starts as the underdog. This acquisition has the potential to make Canva a much larger company, a much bigger player in the market. What they'll evolve into after this, who knows?
Yep. A couple more stories before we wrap up here. The next gen Apple CarPlay is forcing driver instrument cluster takeover. Does trigger a lawsuit? We did have plenty of discussion about the DOJ versus Apple lawsuit, but I thought this article was interesting on just specific, just a CarPlay. As we all know, that Apple did the Department of Justice did file a lawsuit against Apple, accusing them of monopolizing the smartphone market. The antitrust suit also alleges Apple illegally cut off competition and all this other stuff. We've talked so much about this. But notably, the lawsuit did also mention Apple CarPlay, the company's popular phone mirroring service, alleging that the service gives Apple too much power over the auto industry and stifles competition. This was on page 49 of that 88-page lawsuit, saying that Apple told automakers that the next generation of Apple CarPlay will take over the screens, sensors, and gauges in a car, forcing users to experience driving in a iPhone-centric experience if they want to use any of the features provided by CarPlay. Give me a break. I love CarPlay. I think it works fine. Although you got car manufacturers like GM who abandon it. So I don't know. What do you think, Guy, on this?
That I won't be buying a GM anytime soon.
Nor am I. And nor Ben. Seriously. Or any of us.
It's not like just because Apple offers an option for your instrument cluster panel that it's being forced on you. You can still just choose whatever the default is, and because not everybody's going to have an iPhone.
Exactly.
Which means there's going to be default instruments that just show up when you turn your car on and you don't have a phone connected or you don't have an iPhone connected.
Right.
This is just more sleazy lawyers that have class action lawsuit on the mind as an easy way to make money. And they're the ones who rake it in as compared to all the people that they trick into joining these class action suits who get a pittance in comparison. Yeah. So I'm so tired of the state of the law in the United States that something, this is one of those things that something really needs to be done. And if it's going to take putting a couple of them up against the wall, okay, well then we'll just have to deal with that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. How about you, Ben?
Yeah, there's nothing in this lawsuit that's remotely fact. CarPlay is opt in, not opt out.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I can use my iPhone if I wanted to. I can just use the standard Pioneer system that's in my car. Right. And you can do that same kind of opt out by button on most infotainment systems. Yeah, this is ambulance chasing at its finest.
Yep. It is.
Or worst.
Mm. Yeah.
Jeff, you get the final word on this topic.
Holy forking shirt balls.
I speak for Jeff.
Yeah. Eat the rich. No. Apple presents CarPlay 2 as a package thing where you get a customizable dashboard interface that connects to your iPhone and lets you do all this cool stuff. It is not the only option, just like everyone else has said. And filing a lawsuit against Apple because they're offering this package interface option that car manufacturers can choose to include or not is what the hell? And even if a car manufacturer puts CarPlay in their car, CarPlay support, it doesn't mean that they have to have a dashboard interface that's part of CarPlay too. So yeah, you can still have the infotainment screen and then whatever other interface the car manufacturer is going to offer. And just, yeah, please find a way to stop these frivolous lawsuits because it's wasting time and money. And I am just so over this sort of stuff.
Yep. Yep. And Jeff, do you know what platform most of those interfaces are running?
Android
yeah. Automotive.
Yeah. But so where's that lawsuit?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Last story here. Apple was supposed to, all the rumors were happening with the iPad that was maybe going to come out in March as we record this, but Apple will introduce the new iPad Pro and iPad Air models in early May, according to Bloomberg's Mark Gurman. Gurman had previously suggested that the iPads would come out in March, then April, but the time frame has now been pushed back once again. Apple is working on updates to both the iPad and iPad Pro and Air models. Pro models will get an OLED display technology and new M3 chips, while the Air will come with a standard 10.9-inch screen and a larger 12.9-inch size screen. According to Gurman, Apple suppliers are ramping up production of the new iPads at the current time, and Apple initially planned to launch it in March, but apparently they're working on finishing software for the new devices. So, and of course, OLED displays are going to be more complex manufacturing techniques. So we're getting new iPads, but boy, this has just been kind of a crazy delay, don't you think, Jeff?
Yeah. On the other hand, it pushing the releases out longer gives me more time to not stress over whether or not I need to buy a new iPad. So there's that.
Guy, you going to stick with your iPad?
Yeah. I mean, I've got an M1 iPad Pro. I'm not using it for half of what the power that it provides. Yeah. So why am I going to spend another close to $2,000 on an iPad with similar specs to the one that I already have? I'll put that on, I'll put that forward to a MacBook Air. I've got an M1 MacBook Pro. I got to say, when I go to replace it, it might just be a MacBook Air. Those things are like freaking awesome.
They are awesome.
I just bought the M3. I traded into my M2 last week. So it is quite a nice machine, I must admit.
Yeah.
Ben, you going to get a new iPad?
Probably not. And I don't have one currently.
Oh. Okay.
Honestly, if you're going to get an iPad and you don't need a better screen, the base iPad 10 is probably good enough for what most people use it for, or an iPad mini. The software on iPad OS just isn't up to snuff with the power of the machines.
Yep.
Ben, funny, you in passing said, or iPad mini. Of all the iPads that I have, the one that I use the most right now is my iPad mini.
Yeah, because it's not overwhelmingly big. You can actually use it as a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be in a couple months. So that's all the news here for this week. But before we go, I wanted to make sure I talk about Mac Stock 8. Mac Stock 8 is coming soon. It's July 12th, 13th, and 14th. And the theme this year is level up. And you're going to be able to learn from industry experts, networking for all of us friends. And I think most of us, if not all of us, hopefully will be there. I know Jeff Gamut's going to be there, and I'm going to be there because we're both speaking. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Guy's going to be there.
I don't think Mike has made up his mind if he's going to let me speak or not. Okay. based on past performance, it's probably like,
Well, if he'll let me speak.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone speak.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I wasn't able to go last year, right. So I'm definitely looking forward to it this year.
Good. We're going to see you regardless.
Yep.
Because we have such a great time. It's such a, and hopefully Ben's going to make it. We hope we're going to twist his arm a little more. He's still crossing his fingers.
It's like the old Macworld Expo press room all over again.
Yep.
Yeah. It's Mac Stock is a wonderful family reunion in a good way, not the stressful, annoying family reunion with way.
Dry turkey.
Right. And drunk, creepy uncle.
Unless I go.
Right. Yeah. But you're drunk, creepy uncle in the fun way.
That's right. Oh my God. You're funny. So new thing this year is going to be workshops. So there's an added extra day on that Friday, the 12th of July, that there's going to be 90-minute productivity boosting workshop sessions. And it'll include, that's an addition to if you just wanted the standard pass on Saturday or Sunday. So you get both those sessions. You get the Mac Stock Film Festival. Lunch is included both days and all 3 days of as well. And you also going to have a t-shirt like we always do, and the digital pass. And so a lot of great things, but you know what, like we just said, the great thing about this is just an amazing weekend of talks, making new friends, seeing old friends, yep. And just having just absolute great time. Like I said, Jeff is speaking. I am as well. Chuck Joyner, Allison Sheridan, Dave Hamilton, our new friend, Marty Gensius is going to be there. As well, speaking, he's also doing
Mac Stock last year.
He came the first time last year, talked about AI. I think he's going to continue on that topic, at least in the workshops. And Mike Schmitz is a great speaker as well. And so we could, and then that's just where the preliminary list. We're going to probably have a few more of, because we've got two full days to get some good speakers here. So the venue's changed, which is at the Elara Convention Center at the Holiday Inn in Crystal Lake, Illinois. that the great thing about this location is going to be it's all in one place. We don't have to be going to different locations for, you know, because we'd always have those great networking sessions afterwards and go off to the one restaurant or another at a hotel or sitting in a hotel lobby or whatever. Now we're going to have it's a nice little convention center there, and we'll have places to hang out and talk and have fun and play games, whatever. So not only is it, you're going to learn a lot, it's going to be a lot of social opportunities. And like I said, meet new friends, see your old friends, yep, and have a lot of fun here. So again, it's July 12th, 13th, and 14th. And, it's not too far along here until it'll happen. Packages start at $299. That's the weekend pass for Saturday. But, you know, that extra $100 at $399, well worth it. You'll get all those, it'll include 4 90-minute productivity boosting workshops on that day. So check it out. Go to MacStockConferenceAndExpo.com and come join us. I can't wait. And I
goof around a lot, but I don't kid when I say that MacStock Expo is one of the premier events. If you're an Apple user, if you live anywhere near there or have the scratch to go, you should go.
Well worth it. Well, there. Yeah. I'm actually going to stay at the hotel the whole time because I am local into Chicago have, as people know, I have a summer home that's not too far away from that location, but yeah, why not stay? Because I'm going to be with you guys the whole time and then don't have to be driving back and forth and that too. So check it out. MacStockConferenceAndExpo.com. Come join us. It's going to be here before you know it. And we would love to see you. And Mike Potter's going to be here next week. We'll talk about some more and the conference organizer and programming notes. Yes, we are going to have 300th episode of In Touch with iOS next week.
Nice.
So we're going to be doing a little celebrating. So make sure you come to tune in for that. But in the meantime, we're going to wrap up for this week. So that's a wrap for this week. Please send your comments, questions, and suggestions to our email address, which is feedback@intouchwithios.com. You can follow us on Mastodon at intouchwithios at techhangout.social. Buy me a coffee to support the show at intouchwithios.com/coffee. We would really appreciate it. You can become a patron of the show by going to patreon.com/intouchwithios. We have 2 tiers to support the show. We'd really appreciate it. And a shout out to Marty for joining our Patreon campaign. Appreciate you, your support of the show, Marty, this week. We really appreciate it. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe so you're notified when we are live streaming, which is on Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, on our YouTube channel, which is at youtube.com/intouchwithios. I saw Cletus and Paul and a number of others that joined the chat live with us. I'm so glad you were able to join us this week. You can go there and watch the current and past live streams, as well as listen to past shows right there on YouTube. Visit In Touch with iOS Magazine on Flipboard, where many of the topics we discuss are flipped into that magazine. The link is in our show notes. You can subscribe to the show in your favorite podcatcher, including Pocket Casts, Overcast, Apple Podcasts with transcripts, and many others. But better yet, go to our website, intouchwithios.com, where all the links to all the ways to listen to us is there on that website. I am Dave Ginsberg. You can find me on Mastodon at DaveG65 at Mastodon.cloud. Guy Searle, so thanks. So great to have you here.
Where can people find you? Thank you for inviting me.
Always a pleasure to have you. Where can people find you?
Oh, well, you can go see the Reconstituted Guys Daily Drive, which is starting up again over there on YouTube, usually on Mondays and Thursdays around 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm doing that live on Facebook, as well as releasing the edited version of it later on. And you can also contact me, send me an email, guy@mymac.com. I am MacParaton VertShark over there on the Zwitters. X-Twitters? X's. I don't even know what the hell they call that site anymore. I have the Vert Shark channel over on YouTube, where you can see Gaz and myself on the MyMac.com podcast, the weekly show that we do over there, as well as Guy's Daily Drive. What else? We have a telephone number. A telephone. I know. It's insane. You can call us on our Google Voice number, which is 703-828-4677. That number again is 703-828-4677. Call it collect. Call it direct. But call it today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Dave. Thank you, Guy. Oh, Jeff Gamet, thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure having you. Where can people find you?
It's always a treat to get to be here. All right, so when Guy isn't speaking for me, you can find me on social media as Jay Gamet. I'm active right now on Mastodon and Instagram and Threads. Then hold on. Did you just drink from a beer can through a straw?
I did.
Guy, that's funny. It was just the top of your mug came into frame, and it looked like a cheap beer, and you're drinking it with a straw.
I don't really even drink beer anymore. If I'm actually gonna drink alcohol, it's usually gonna be whiskey or bourbon.
Fair.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't done. I was just totally sidetracked by Squirrel. Okay, shows. Where can you find me on shows? Tuesdays, Mac Voices Live, Chuck Joyner Show. Thursdays, In Touch with iOS, here, Dave's show.
I heard of that one.
Then for the British Tech Network, the Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays, and also Brand Chaffin and I do the Context Machine.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
I actually really like that show.
Yeah, he does a great job with that show.
Wow. I mean, thank you.
Yes, he does great. And last but certainly not least, Ben Rathick, thank you as always for being here. We're going to go watch the Cubs. Where are you keep people in?
Well, Dave, you can find me at Ben Rathick on Twitter. Every Tuesday night, you can find me on Mac Voices Live with Chuck Joyner. Every Thursday and Friday, you can find me on the British Tech Network on their Big and Mac shows.
All right. Thanks again, Ben, for being here. And thank you for listening. And like I said, make sure you come tune in with us next week for our 300th episode of In Touch with iOS. But until then, thanks for listening and watching, and we'll talk again soon.